Third week of Advent. Some of you may wonder why we've lit the pink candle and not the third purple one. The other 3 weeks of Advent are a little bit more about reflection. And this week is about joy. Not so much about reflection, but about joy and allowing that joy to flow out of us. Okay? And that's why the color of the candle changes. Because it's to remind us that we are to let that joy just be within us and us be in the midst of joy and let it flow out of us. The call to worship I read that came from Isaiah, the 12th chapter, talked twice in there about joy, and it talked about singing. Listen to this that comes from Zephaniah chapter 3, starting in verse 14 down through verse 20. Sing, daughter Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, God will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and a reproach for you. At that time, I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth. Then I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." If there is something that our world needs now, it's joy. Over the past year and a half, we felt like it was not possible to have joy. It was not possible to be excited about things because we didn't know what was going to happen with COVID and where that was going to go, and we still don't. But that doesn't mean that we need to cut our joy off. The church has lived through many plagues in the past and still had joy. Still brought that joy to people and brought it to them in such a way that they could understand that God wants them to have a joyous and wonderful life. How about you? What are the reasons you have for having joy? I really like this passage from Zephaniah, because it talks very deeply about why we should have joy. There are 8 times where God promises, "I will." Not, "I might," "I could." God promises, "I will." 2 of them are repeated. Twice it says that God will gather, and twice it says that God will give. I want to step through these just so that you can see them. Because God begins to speak in this passage, and as God speaks, listen to these. "I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of appointed festivals. I will deal with all who oppress you. I will rescue the lame. I will gather the exiles. I will give them praise and honor. I will gather you. I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes. 8 times God says, I will, I will, I will. Like I said, 2 of them are repeated. To gather, I'll gather you together, I'll bring you back home. That's actually said 3 times. And then God says twice, I will give them praise and honor. Look at what God says. I will. I don't read these as I read many of the promises of God that are conditional. I hope you realize that most of the promises of God are conditional. You can hold on to them if you want, but unless you live your part of the covenant with God, God doesn't promise to follow through on God's promises. They are not promises that God says, this is for everybody no matter what. One of the most famous ones that people like to hold on to, especially during difficult times, is Romans 8, verse 28, where it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. And most everybody holds on to that, don't they? Oh, God's going to bring good out of this. God will make sure good. Read the rest of the verse. It says, for those who love God and for those who are called according to God's purposes. You've got to show love to God, which means that you live the commandments, which means you follow through on your part of the covenant. And you've got to live for what God wants for all things to work together for good. A conditional promise. It's not a promise that says, I guarantee everything's going to work together for good. It's only for those who live according to God's ways. In this case, God says, I will, I will, I will, I will, and I don't see any conditions here. God says, I'm going to gather you back together. I'm going to bring you together. I'm going to put within your heart praise and honor. I'm going to put within you excitement. Are we that excited? I can tell you right now, as I stand here and look, it doesn't look like it. Are we excited about what God has done for us? Let's try again. Are we excited about what God has done for us? Amen. Folks, it's okay to acknowledge that. It's okay to speak about that. It's okay to share about that. During this season, when people are so wrapped up in getting ready for this and that and the other and putting this up and putting that up and buying the right gifts and doing this and doing that and the other, that can spoil a lot of joy for a lot of people. Amen. This is the time when we need to be about that joy. You see, all of these promises of God are about restoring the community of faith, pay attention, and removing those who are downcast. Did you catch that as I read this passage? I will remove from you all who mourn over the loss of your appointed festivals, which is a burden and a reproach for you. Those in the midst of mourning about what's lost for God, those in the midst of saying, what about the festivals and having the God says, I will remove them from your midst. This should be an opportunity for us to look. Are we people that are always looking down or looking up? And if you find yourselves at points in your life looking downward, yes, it does happen. It's time to change that focus from looking downward and looking upward, because God promises to bring the community of faith back together through a Savior. God promises that. But are you preparing for that? Are you readying yourself for that? Are you expressing the joy that we can have because God is gathering the community back together? Pastors that I have had an opportunity to talk with have told me that now, during this stage of COVID, they're lucky to have 50% of the people that used to come to church. That's about the average right now, from what I can understand. This is about 50% of those who were coming almost 2 years ago. We've seen that here. But God has promised, I'm going to gather the community together. I'm going to bring them back together. If we live with joy, people will want to be part of what we're doing. If we live with downcast eyes and saying, oh, I wish church used to be and can be, oh, I wish church would just be like it used to be. And if that's the way that we walk around all the time, who is going to join together with us? Right? Oh, I wish church could be what it used to be. Oh, I wish. As a pastor, I wish that. But you know what we need to do? We need to step it up a notch. We need to be excited about our faith. We need to be participating in joy. And we need to let folks around us know the joy that we have, because God says, I'm going to bring you together. I'm going to bring you back together. And I'm going to strengthen you. And I'm going to put within you praise and honor. Where does our praise come from? God says God puts it in us. I will put praise and honor within you. Do you know what the result of these I will statements should be? The result of these I will statements should be great joy and singing for us. Great joy and singing. I know some of you are going to tell me that you can't sing. Here's what I'm going to tell you. God created you, and God gave you the ability to sing. It may not sound like a top hits when you sing something. That's not what God asked us to do. God asked us to sing. Amen. Amen. The men's group of my previous church that I used to sing with was called Joyful Noise. And one of the first times that we sang, my youngest son, I didn't ask his permission to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. My youngest son, Philip, came up to us afterwards and he says, well, now I've heard noise, when am I going to hear joyful? Yeah, he didn't fall far from the tree, did he? Folks, can we be about joyful? Can we be about singing? When you look at all these things that God says, I will, I will, I will, I will. Gosh, we should be excited, shouldn't we? We should be excited and let other people know our excitement. Now somebody's going to come to me and say, Pastor, you know, maybe you're not aware of this, but I'm an introvert, and I don't talk out much, and I'm kind of shy, and I don't speak up much, and you're asking me to be excited, and that's kind of hard for me to do. Well, for those of you that don't know, I'm an introvert. I am an introvert. I can sit for hours on end by myself and be perfectly happy. with no interaction with anybody else. And the longer I sit by myself, the more energy I contain, and the more energy grows within me. When I interact with folks, my batteries drain. It's a little bit harder for me to do that. That's who God has naturally made me to be. And there's nothing wrong with being an introvert. But I guess what I want to say, even introverts should be excited and have joy. Amen? God doesn't say here in this scripture, hey, by the way, those of you that are outgoing folks, man, go everywhere and tell everybody and do everything you can. And those of you that are kind of introverts, just sit quietly in the corner, it'll be all right. And one day I'll call you to heaven. No. Listen to verse 14 again. Sing, daughter Zion, sing aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. Not just a piece, all. Is there within me sadness? Yes. Is there within me grief? Yes. Especially during the Christmas season. My last grandparents, one from my dad's side and one from my mother's side, died in 2014. Is there sadness in my heart because I can't spend Christmas with them? Yes. Does it stop me from having joy for what God's done for me? No. Not at all. Those things that I miss, I miss. And there's still a hole there. There's still a hole there. My other two grandparents died within 2 weeks of each other in 1997. I miss them even more because it's been much longer to sit down with my grandpa, who was Captain Irving, which was what my kids still call him, and to sit down with my nanny. But does that take away my joy? No. Sometimes when I see people with sad faces and downcast faces, I tell them, you know what? There's two things you haven't lost. And I can guarantee you haven't lost them. The first one's your birthday. To my knowledge, nobody's ever taken anyone else's birthday away. And the other thing is your salvation, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Those cannot be taken away from you. And if you still have your salvation in Jesus Christ, shouldn't you be excited? Shouldn't you be singing? Shouldn't you be bubbling over? Shouldn't the joy be coming out of you in such a way that it makes puddles everywhere you go, and whoever follows you steps in the puddles and gets wet with joy? Shouldn't it be happening that way for us folks? Then why do we sit quietly so often? And why do we look at somebody else and say, well, I can't sing? Yeah, you can. God created you to sing. You know how I also know that? When you get to heaven, we're all going to be singing. God created you to sing. Don't tell me you can't sing. Because then you're telling me that God can create something that can't sing. Is joy bubbling up within you? Now here's the next exciting thing. These I will statements make us shout aloud, make us rejoice with all our heart. They bring us to the place where we have joy. And then listen to what else happens. God is also singing. Because God's love and forgiveness will flow freely to us. God is also singing. Verse 17, the Lord your God who is with you, the mighty warrior who saves, he will take delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God's going to rejoice over you with singing. Think about that for a minute. The Lord your God who is with you. Right now, God is present to you. Whether you feel it or not, God is present to you. When you walk out the doors of these church, God will still be present with you. And God will still be singing over you as a person. No matter where you go. I've told you before, you cannot change God's love for you. There's nothing you can do to change that. God is going to love you in spite of who you are. And in spite of anything you do or say, God's still going to love you, and God is still going to be present with you. Wherever you go. You may think you might be able to do something on the sly, but God's right there when you do it. That's a fact you can't change. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the very Holy Spirit of God, one part of the Trinity, is within you and goes with you everywhere you go, when you get up and when you lie down. The psalmist even says, I tried to find a place to live in the place of the dead, and God, I found you there. Everywhere you go. And God is saying this to you everywhere you go. I will bring you back together. I will put within you praise and honor. I will gather the community together so that you can sing aloud. I will, I will, I will. And we should be singing. Everywhere we go, in spite of whatever else is happening in our lives. I'm getting to the point with the pandemic that, you know what? It's time to move on. Let the pandemic be the pandemic, and it's time to move on and have joy in life, and it's time to let people know that God brings that joy to us. That's what this world needs. That's what God has placed within us. That's what God wants to show us. That's what God wants us to be about. And so many folks are sitting back and saying, well, when the pandemic's over, we'll get back to it. I'm glad the church didn't do that when the Black Plague happened. They still lived. They still reached out. That was something, if you got, you were going to die. That was the end. I can't say I remember reading reports of people that got the Black Plague and lived. Folks, it's time to move on. We're coming upon a new year, and we don't know what that's going to bring to us. But shouldn't it be a year that we live with joy? Because God has saved us. Joy. Because God has promised to bring us together. Joy. Because God is working in our hearts to help one another. Joy. So I'm going to ask you this. Is joy happening within your heart? And is a song of praise flowing out of you? Is joy happening within your heart? And is a song of praise flowing out of you? It should be, right? What did you say the other night, Jerry? It took over 200 muscles to frown, and it takes 11 to smile. So I guess all of you that are about frowning most of the time or are exercising your muscles is what it is, right? You're doing a workout? Wore out. That's what you're doing. They're not working out. They're worn out. Folks, shouldn't we be about joy? This is one of the greatest times of the year when the pathway and the doorway is open to share about Jesus Christ. This is one of the times of year when we can show great joy about things. This is one of the times of year when we can sing out loud. Has anybody ever stopped any carolers and going, "Hey, you right there, you ain't got a good voice. Don't be singing." I don't think so. Have they? What? That's the other thing that can happen. And that's the danger of having some sons on the soundboard, too. My sons always told, my sons ran the soundboard for me when I was at the last church, and they always told me, "Dad, don't forget, we can turn you off." But it's not time to be turned off, is it? It's time to be excited. It's time to have joy. And it's time for that joy to invest in us in such a way that songs of praise flow out of us in a dynamic way. And people come and go, "What is that? I want some." Isn't that how we should be living? People should be begging us to know about salvation because they see incredible joy in our lives. Folks, the Savior's coming. The Savior will be here one day. The Savior is coming. Should we not have joy? And should that not be flowing out of our hearts? Let's take a moment to pray. Lord, there's so many things in the midst of our world that sometimes stop us and keep us from looking at what you've done for us and what you've promised to do for us and what you're going to do for us. And especially, it causes us to look away from the salvation that you have brought us, a salvation that no one can take away, a salvation that will be there forever so that one day as we cross over the threshold of death, that, Lord, we'll be in your presence singing with joy for all eternity. What a great moment that will be to gather together with all of the heavenly choir and to truly be your people without any thing to draw us away. Lord, guide us to find that joy that you have for us and to sing out with praise in such a way that others might come to us and say, "I want that same joy." In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.